the LGBTQ issue and our current politics, especially the Democrat candidates for president, is our topic for this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is a returning guest, Terry Schilling, Executive Director of American Principles Project out of the D.C. area. It's great to have you back on the program, Terry. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jerry. Really, really glad to be back.
Sure. Now, I understand that when it comes to the gay issue and so forth, that a lot of the Democrat candidates, they're all kind of, you know, for that, you know, in the full panoply of rights. And we even saw the Equality Act getting passed in the House of Representatives just a month or two ago or whatever. So let's focus on this issue, and especially the Democrat candidates for president.
What we're seeing is that the Democratic presidential field has gone totally off the rails on everything related to human sexuality. It's not just the LGBT issues, it's online pornography and their refusal to have any sort of common sense regulations, although there has been an exception with Andrew Yang. Andrew Yang tweeted out support for regulating online pornography just last year as a way to protect children. But for the most part, the Democratic Party has embraced a radical version of equality that is actually leading to the victimization of women and men and children, but especially, as we highlighted in some of our recent work, female athletes and their ability to compete in women's sports against their peers.
Yeah, okay. Boy, there's a lot of issues we could focus on, but let's start with the transgender issue, what you just said about women athletes. How would they be hurt through, say, the Equality Act?
So what a lot of people don't realize is that what the Equality Act does is it bans discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. And what this means is that you are no longer allowed in high schools or colleges or even grade school athletics to restrict or segregate sports and athletics by biological sex. It makes that illegal. And so if you are a boy, you are allowed to identify as a girl through your gender identity at any time and compete against girls.
Because of medical reasons or through medical permission or something, or, you know, like a note from the doctor?
No, not even a note from the doctor. These laws are so subjective and flimsy, and this is part of the major problem that we're trying to highlight. These laws are simply up to your own self-identification. So you can literally say at any point as a male, I now identify as a woman, and it's then up to the schools whether or not to allow you and risk a lawsuit and risk losing federal funds. So this is basically a huge loophole that is being given to men, because something that we all know is that men have a natural athletic advantage over women, yes, which is why we have two sports leagues. And it's the heart and soul of Title IX protections for women. And it's really tragic, and it's really a shame that so many groups on the left and so many presidential candidates are embracing these types of problematic policies.
Wow. Just a real quick anecdote here. I have been a runner for years. I'm very, very, very slow, but I just do it for the health of it, and it's fun and so forth. And I've run 38 half marathons, if you can use the word run. I use it very loosely. But I have never once, I mean, not even close, seeing a woman come, you know, to be the first or second or third runner ever. I mean, ever in any of these runs. And there's one in Naples where it loops back, so you can see the front runners, maybe the first 10 or 20. Usually it's a first woman you'll see is maybe person 15 or something in that context. And this is a repeated pattern. So the thing that's so sad is it's almost a joke, but it's not a joke, because there's real serious scholarship money at risk for these girls that have been training all their lives, and they can't compete with a man.
That's exactly right, Jerry. And I'm the father of two daughters. And we as parents spend a lot of time taking our children to athletic, you know, practices and training, and we've spent a lot of money and time and effort encouraging our girls to put in their best effort and shoot for the moon. And the idea that we would allow for men and boys to just all of a sudden subjectively identify as a woman and compete against our girls and take away these opportunities to make a name for themselves, to score a scholarship, to win a championship, we're robbing these girls of incredible opportunities, and they're the real victims here. And they're being forgotten about and trampled on just because of a radical group of activists who want to tear down all forms of gender and to reorient society in radical ways. It's really unfortunate, and I've been asked, is this happening a lot? And you know what? It is happening a lot, but even if it wasn't, if it just happened one time, if one girl lost an opportunity to go to college or get a scholarship or win a championship, I say that that's too many.
Hmm. All right, let's actually talk about some of the candidates. So where does Joe Biden stand on these things? Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, well, no doubt there, Julian Castro or Cory Booker. Why don't you comment on some of their positions related to all this?
The entire
Bernie
Democratic
Sanders.
The entire Democratic field has endorsed wholeheartedly the Equality Act and laws that would do this. There is no exception to any candidate in the Democratic field that has had issued any trepidation whatsoever in supporting these types of laws. It's so radical. It's so extreme. And they are pushing this crazy agenda. And they're completely out of step with voters. It offers, the thing is that this type of radicalism and support for crazy policies like the Equality Act offers President Trump and conservatives and Republicans a major advantage in the upcoming 2020 election. And that's what we're testing out right now in Kentucky with Governor Matt Bevin. So they are completely out of lockstep with the American voters, the vast majority of which want to have separate sports leagues for girls and boys. And it offers a major opportunity for Republicans to take advantage of that, expose the extremism of Democrats and the radical left, and win more elections.
All right, since we're really kind of talking about sex, ultimately, right? So abortion is a part of this because, you know, let's face it, abortion is popular among some people because it's essentially a way to cover up your sexual sin, right? I mean, I'm just being honest. Where does Joe Biden stand on abortion? Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, Julian Castro, Cory Booker, Bernie Sanders, or the other presidential candidates? I think I named the main ones.
Yes. Unfortunately, it's easier to list the Democrats who are more reasonable on abortion than the ones that are, more open to the right to life. But what I'll say is that there's only one candidate in the race so far that has issued any sort of pro-life position, and that is Tulsi Gabbard. Yeah, Tulsi Gabbard has actually said that she supports banning abortion in the third trimester, which is, not even that radical of a position by right. any means. It's something that 90% of Americans actually support.
Wow.
But we've seen the entire Democratic field move very far to the left, including, unfortunately, Joe Biden, who in the past has supported eliminating taxpayer funding of abortion, such as the Hyde Amendment. But Joe Biden, just this past year, distanced himself from the Hyde Amendment and said that he would not support it any longer.
Mm.
This just goes to show you how extreme the Democratic Party has become and how intolerant they are of anyone who disagrees with their radical sexual agenda. It is, it used to be the commonality between the two parties that we both disagree on abortion, but we both accept that abortion is controversial and in a lot of cases wrong. But we're going to agree that at least taxpayer funding shouldn't be supporting abortion. Mm. But we don't even agree on that anymore. It's like we live in two very different worlds.
You know, it's interesting too. You were mentioning the third trimester in the story of Abby Johnson with Unplanned. I don't know if you saw the movie or read the book or, I've interviewed her or saw the movie. It's very powerful. And anyway, she saw an abortion through a sonogram of a 13-week-old child. So that would be technically, I guess, in the second trimester, but just barely. For all practical purposes, that's the tail end of the first trimester. And when she saw that, she realized this is not a blob of tissue. This is a little human being, you know, real small, of course, fighting for his or her life and losing the battle, you know, against this huge machine. And it caused her to become instantly pro-life. She walked out of that clinic, Planned Parenthood clinic in mid-Texas, and never came back to that, and then, you know, ended up writing that book, and, you know, her whole life is unplanned, but thank God for that movie and that testimony. But to think that only one Democratic candidate would even quibble at a third trimester abortion, but all the other trimesters are fine, too. That's amazing.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's becoming clearer and clearer, not just to conservatives, but to the American people overall, that this blob of tissue lie has always been a lie from the very beginning. A few months ago, someone sent me a picture of a Life magazine cover from 1968, and that's 5 years before Roe v. Wade was decided, which was the decision that legalized abortion nationwide and knocked down every single restriction that we had on the books. The picture on this Life magazine cover was incredibly detailed, and it showed a baby at 12 weeks old, fully formed, essentially. I mean, it's not a blob of tissue by any means. It has a fully developed head, its arms and legs and fingers and fingernails and toenails. Wow. I mean, it is so clear that we have always known, especially the scientific and medical communities, have always known that the babies that we're aborting are not blobs of tissue, that they are babies. They're just tiny. And, you know, if you're really doing this and looking at the pictures, you can say that maybe in the first 2 or 3, 4 weeks that it looks like a blob of tissue, but even at those points, you can still make out this tiny little human being, this helpless little being that needs all of his care and attention and our love. And they sold us a lie, and it's probably the worst thing that we've had happen in America.
Yeah, I think in future generations, when they look back at us, and they'll be like, the way we are when we look back at people who were, let's say, professing Christians who owned slaves. It's like, how could you possibly do that, you know, as a professing Christian? But here we are so blasé about all these millions of unborn babies being killed. Okay, we have a couple minutes left. How about the gay issue itself, same-sex marriage, and are gays being discriminated against? Why this Equality Act? Where do the Democrat candidates for president stand on this?
Well, I have a theory that the Equality Act is really just about eliminating Christianity from the public square, including businesses and private schools. It's really about enshrining left-wing sexual principles and beliefs into our law. If you look at this country, no one's being fired just for being gay. No one's even being fired just for being transgender. And this is really a problem it's a solution in search of a problem. You know, my family owns a pizza restaurant, and we serve all customers regardless of race, ethnicity, religious background, sexual orientation, anything. And we would never fire anyone. It's a Christian pizza restaurant, and we would never fire someone. And we hold true to the Christian teaching on human sexuality. So this is, they're ginning up fake victims and fake outrage over something that's not even happening. You know, when people like my family would never, you know, fire someone or refuse to hire someone based on these criteria that they're spelling out, I think it's pretty safe to say that it's a non-existent problem. And it's just, they're trying to enshrine left-wing ideology, and really it's a theology, it's a religion, into U.S. law. And we really need to start looking at fighting this on a separation of church and state grounds.
Interesting. All right, Terry Schilling, Executive Director of American Principles Project, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. Thank you, Terry, for being with us. All the best.
Thanks so much, Jerry. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.